up, yeah.
It's still double.
I think it's good now.
We shall see. Yeah, let's go. Okay. All right. All right. Enough wasted time. Ben, how are you doing? We have the legendary BTC Sessions in the house. And we wasted, what, 8 minutes of your life already? This is Bitcoin Kindergarten. And we are happy to have you here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. And like, just to be clear, I spent a decade or more of my life like doing workshops in schools, oftentimes with kindergarten children. So 8 minutes wasted is really nothing to me. So it's all good.
All right. Well, then we're off to a good start. All right. Well, Ben, do you prefer to be called Ben or BTC Sessions? I feel Ben's a little formal.
Yeah, it's weird because now when somebody calls me Ben, I'm like, oh, I mean, other than like my wife, it's almost like weird. I used to find it weird when somebody would call me Sessions, and now it's just kind of like a normal thing. So
what,
yeah,
about the Sesh?
Yes, the Sesh. I don't know. I don't care. Use whatever.
It's like Optimus is now Opti, so yeah. Maybe we can just Sesh it.
Oh, you Sesh. Well, that's just because Nico can't speak syllables, so Optimus was too much for him, so it's just Opti because hashtag Nico can't read nor speak.
We'll go with it. I like it. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. So, Ben, I have this question, and I told you before we started that we are most likely going to talk about your hair for 20 to 30 minutes, and that's just what we do over here. We pick the most obscure thing about our guest, and we spotlight it because people don't come here for the bullish Bitcoin signal. They come here for the highly regarded Bitcoin content. So my first question is, I'm going to give you a little context. We are all aware of famous celebrities having ridiculous insurance on their body parts and their lives. The most famous examples may be J-Lo insuring her butt, or Madonna and Dolly Parton insuring their tits. And I think Rihanna had her legs insured, and Tina Turner as well. So, Sessions, do you have your famous blonde streak insured? Because it is an icon in the Bitcoin community.
Oh yeah, I've got this bitch insured for 21 million Bitcoin. So it's hefty price tag, but you know, like if I ever go bald, I don't know. I think the Bitcoin economy collapses or something. Pretty sure that's how it'll go.
Wow. Insured for all the Bitcoin in the world, guys. That is called celebrity clout. That is celebrity insurance. But wine.
Yeah, I mean,
you have
I can
a whole
keep
list
asking
here.
Hair questions.
Let's go in on hair, and then we can go into like actually Bitcoin. Let's just get it out of our system.
Is the blonde streak a resemblance of lightning, or does it have some other meaning? What is the blonde streak there for?
So I have had lots of stupid hair over the course of my life. when I graduated high school, I had long, shaggy, bleach blonde hair. At the beginning of high school, I had, you know, there's a phase in the early 2000s where everybody used too much hair gel and literally like twisted spikes on their head. I had that as well. So like I've run the gamut of poor choices for hair. And I guess this is just another iteration of it, but I feel like I can't lose this streak until I am obsolete. So I'm going to have to, like, it's just a thing that people have to deal with now, because I'll basically torpedo my marketing if I were to ever change it. Like, why even exist, right?
Yes, exactly. People will not recognize you if you don't have that blonde streak in your hair. It's a cultural icon at this point.
I legit was so at in Miami in April. I was there, and like it's super fucking awesome when somebody comes up and they're like, yo, I'm running a node because I saw your video or whatever. And it's easier for that to happen because you can spot the beacon from across a fucking room. But I was with a couple friends and they're like, let's go grab lunch. And because of my stupid hair, we're getting stopped like every 5 feet. So my buddy goes to a booth that's giving out free shirts, grabs one, and then wraps it around my head. And then it was clear sailing straight to the buffet. It was insane.
Oh, my God. That is amazing. So, Sessions, is it safe to say that you you don't have the hairdo anymore because you like it? It is more so because it's a duty to the plebs out there.
I think it's a public service at this point.
Beautiful. Oh, my God. Beautiful. Well, Wine, do you have more hair questions? Because I literally only brought one, and it was about his insurance.
Of course I do. Of course. Well, I don't know what BTC Sessions is more famous for, his hair or the fact that he makes amazing tutorials. Without those tutorials, we probably wouldn't know how to do a lot of things. But the fans want to know, and by the fans, I mean me, when are you going to do a tutorial about dyeing a blonde streak into your hair?
I feel like this is an excellent video to drop on April Fool's next year. That's a great idea. I think I should probably do that. I'll get my wife featured in it because she actually is the one responsible for putting it in there. She begrudgingly does it at this point. So yeah, maybe that'll be look for it.
We will. Wine has been incepting meme ideas into people over as long as I've known him. I like to call him Geppetto, because he just secretly pulls the strings behind the scenes and gets us all fire meme content. So, shout out to you, Wine. If Sessions pulls this off, you might have just made yourself one of the infamous memers in the back end.
You can give me some air horns.
I told Wine I'd be a lot more humble on the air horns today, so he's telling me when to use the air horns.
At your discretion, Optimus. But yeah, I mean, I can keep asking hair stuff.
Dude, get it out of your system.
Oh yeah. Like, what is the process of this hair like? Is there a lot of upkeep? Is this something you're focused on every single day? Like, how often do you have to make that blonde thing blonde? I don't know. There's a lot to unpack.
I'm thoroughly enjoying that we're 15 minutes into the show. We're still on air. You guys weren't full of shit when you said 20 minutes of hair. let's see. Can I address a chat question first? Somebody wants to know
if the
carpet matches the drapes. so yes, indeed. It's a lot of upkeep down there, but, you know, I got to stay consistent, right? Like, I feel like I'd just be cheating myself if I didn't, you know, exude the same energy everywhere. but yes, it's everybody's always like, how is it standing up so much? Not down there, but the hair itself. I don't know, a blow dryer and some like clay or whatever the hell it is. But that'll last me a couple of days. So, you know.
Wait, Sessions, hold on. Do you blow dry your hair before every tutorial?
No, sometimes that's like a day or two old. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
yeah. Every couple of days, 2 to 3 days, I got to do that.
No way. Amazing. So now that I am doxxed, I didn't realize how complicated it is to make sure my hair doesn't look bad on the show. Hence why I've been wearing hoodies and hats the whole time, guys, because I don't want to do my hair in the morning. But more power to you, Sessions. That's called commitment, boys and girls. He does his hair for your show. Wow.
I'm really excited for this tutorial that's going to come out April 1st, but I hope that you exclude the drapes portion of it.
Oh, that'll be on Pornhub.
Does BTC Sessions have a Pornhub page that's just as popular?
OnlyFans.
I feel like I could probably take my BTC Pay server tutorial and say something to the tune of, open source software fucks BitPay or something like that.
That would acquire a lot of sats. Definitely. Guys, we're giving you guys so much free alpha. We are looking for the Lightning OnlyFans so that we can get BTC Sessions up there to get his tutorials. We are going to make you money, guys. This is the stuff you need to be building in this bear market. The OnlyFans with Lightning. So that we can get content creators up on there, guys. But Wine, I got one more question. This is yours, though. I want to steal it. Can I steal this?
Go for it.
Okay, so Ben, Sessions, after you, which Bitcoiner do you think has the best hair?
Ooh, that's let's see. I mean, Q over at Bitcoin Magazine has some pretty luscious hair. Enjoy that. Oof, that's a tough one. I mean, he comes to mind because, again, it's just so fantastic. I don't know, man.
Big Sean Harris carrot top is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
The flat top.
Yeah, that's hard to miss, right? That's definitely excellent. But he's got to keep that, right? Like, you can't be switching that
he's
out.
He's LARPing on it.
Yeah, it's consistency. So, you know, like, grow that back and then talk to me. I think I would go default to Q right now. But if Sean Harris were to grow that bad boy back and keep it maintained, then I'm down to name him.
Okay. What is your thoughts on Bitcoiners going full blonde after a meltdown?
I feel like it's a cry for help. When Britney Spears had her break and she shaved her head, it's like that energy.
That is literally the example I used when I saw that happening on Twitter. I was like, this is the quintessential meltdown. He's doing the Britney Spears, like, amazing. Who could have saw this coming?
He's just got to, all he's got to do is attack somebody with an umbrella and we've got the full breakdown.
Well, as they say, Sessions, you know, the sword or the pen is mightier than the sword. So the pen is mightier than the umbrella. Hence why he did that ode against Bitcoin maxis. The pen.
Labra in the comments says that Stefan Livera has the second best hair in Bitcoin.
Let's go. Can confirm.
Are we done with hair? Or should we? Yeah.
I want to give an honorable mention to Greg. Fuck you, Greg. Great hair.
Body hair does not count in this poll.
Oh my God. Let's go. Okay. All right. Well, we thoroughly did 20 minutes of hair talk, so I think we can move on from that one.
21 minutes to be precise.
Well, there was like 2 minutes of no audio that they didn't hear. So we'll be nice about it.
21.
Okay. 21. 21 hard cap. 21 minute hard cap on the hair talk.
That's how we tie Bitcoin into this.
Exactly.
Always one.
See the whole genius of this show is that we bring Bitcoiners on, but we do our best to avoid talking about Bitcoin as much as possible. But since it's a room of Bitcoiners, the conversation always comes back to Bitcoin anyways. So the people get the signal even when we don't try to give them the signal. I don't get it, but this is why people keep showing up. But Wine, start with some of these other questions.
Can I keep going?
All right, we're done with hair. Do you have more hair questions? How could you have more hair questions? We're done with
hair. We know that BTC Sessions, aka Sesh, is famous for his tutorials. Without them, many of us wouldn't know what we're doing with these devices, software. But I wanted to ask you, what is your method of learning? Like, how do you know how to do this? You can't watch a BTC Sessions video to learn. So how are you learning to do this stuff?
This is literally why I created the channel, because when I started into Bitcoin, I was looking for a visual aid to help me through everything And everybody was always like, go to this message board and then scroll a bit. And then there's like some dude that commented and explained how to do it. And I was like, this is not how I learn. So my learning process was just fucking up impossible amounts of time until I eventually got it for about 2 years. And then I was pretty confident and comfortable with like some of the basics, wallets and backups and all that kind of stuff. And so then I was like, well, to save people the pain of trying to just like muddle their way through all this crap, I'll make some of these basic videos. And so I just started making, you know, one a week, back in 2016. And then over time, I, you know, as I just experimented with more stuff, I got more confident with it. But even still, like, there's still times where I'll put off a tutorial because I'm like, oh man, this is above my pay grade here. And then I'll put it off. And then eventually when I do it, it's like, I got to muddle my way through it, try and find like any sort of blog or anything that might help me a little bit, and then just screw up a whole bunch of times and then do it another time with a camera and screw up less. And so, yeah, that's pretty much my process is just tinkering until I get it. Some notable exceptions would be I did a Lightning Network tutorial, like how to set up a Lightning node. And Nate over at Voltage was super generous with his time and literally did a video call with me for like an hour and a half explaining the ins and outs of how to use ThunderHub and like set up channels and all that kind of stuff. So in certain instances like that, I'll have a guardian Bitcoin angel that'll be generous enough with their time to walk me through something before I make a video.
Yeah, shout out B for Bacon. Nate's a G. I love what they're doing over there at Voltage. But sessions. Everyone has a junk drawer. And I just heard that junk drawers are going out of style. But do you have a junk drawer of just Bitcoin hardware and Bitcoin goodies? Because you have all the goodies on your tutorial channel.
Oh, dude, I've got so much Bitcoin stuff. It's disgusting. Like, it's great because I love it. But at the same time, so I've got a couple different types of Bitcoin stashes. So I've got a little behind me on my shelf. I have this little like blue tin lunchbox. And so I'll keep like a whole bunch of different hardware and stuff that I often use for tutorials, specifically just for tutorials. So that thing's full of fun little goodies. But then I've also got like just shitty things that I've been sent over the years. Like when I started getting a few more viewers on the show, I also started getting people just being like, can I send you a free thing? And then you do a video on it. And I just got a little overzealous and a little overexcited. And I was like, literally anybody who had a device, I was like, yeah, send it over. Hop in. Like, I just was like, yeah, go ahead, whatever, send me. And so I ended up with all of these just fucking awful hardware wallets. And I tried doing a video on like one of them, and I was like, this is so bad. And so then I had like a few of them that I hadn't covered, and I was like, I feel bad because they sent me free shit, but I don't want to like be like, oh, you sent me a free thing, here's me trashing your device. But one company kept on emailing me being like, yo, we sent you a thing, are you gonna do a video, are you gonna do it? And after a while, I was like, guys, here's the situation. I tried your wallet. I have a lot of issues with it. So here's your options. I appreciate that you sent me something free. Here's the laundry list of things that I found are just pretty much unacceptable. I can either not do the video, or I can do it as you request, but it will not be good for you guys. And so, yeah, like I've got in my one of my like drawers here, I've got like a little bag full of like failed hardware wallet, like trash. but I keep them around just for novelty's sake so I can look through. And some of them, the quality of the device is actually quite good, but then the interface was just irreconcilable. So it's kind of unfortunate, but I think in the 2017 bull run, a lot of companies were like, we can make a hardware wallet, I guess, and just started making stuff and not realizing that you actually have to know what you're fucking doing to do this. So yeah, I don't know. I've got a fair amount of trash, but then I've got all kinds of trinkets and hardware and magazines and you name it. It's here.
Amazing. Amazing. You're very nice. I can tell you're very nice by the fact that you gave these shitcoin, or sorry, not shitcoin, these really bad Bitcoin hardware wallets a choice on whether you should wreck them. Maybe you should do like a Simply Bitcoin fail type video for all these ones. Like, these are what's bad with these wallets, and these are the ones that I do like. I don't know. We're spitballing.
It's now been years since I got them. So if I were to fish them out and if they're still functional, I think a lot of the companies are just defunct now. So probably wouldn't be so bad if I were to like fish them out and be like, this is how awful these things were when I got them.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning experience. Like, this is what a bad wallet is, and this is what a good wallet is now. Figure out whether you have a good one or a bad one via this laundry list.
It would be simple things like just you get the wallet and this would be like after 2 years after SegWit, and it would be like a legacy address. It would be a static address for a hardware wallet. There'd just be things like there's no send all button. And so you'd have to, like, if you want to send everything out, then you got to fuck around with the fee until it somehow balances out. It was just awful all around for a lot of these things.
Amazing. Well, since we're talking about hardware wallets, what are, like, okay, so say someone is looking for a wallet. What is, like, the first thing that pops out in your mind that's, like, an instant red flag? There's got to be something. You're so... so close to all the trinkets. I know, like the first thing people can see, that's just like, this is not the wallet you want to do. And it could even be like, just, it has shit coins associated with it.
Yeah. I mean, typically now I try and utilize stuff that either is Bitcoin only or has like a Bitcoin only firmware option at the very least. But in terms of red flags, so like, one of the big ones down in Miami that was like a sponsor of the conference and was being handed out to everybody was this Arculus card. And the way that it was mostly the way it was marketed that was just extraordinarily bad. If I'm not mistaken, I think the way it functioned, and I could be wrong here, but I think the way it functioned was it was actually already a created seed, but then you added a passphrase to it to make it a different seed than, to basically adding a 25th word. I could be mistaken there, but also just in the marketing materials, it basically compared it with all of the other options on the market and somehow showed that it was miraculously more secure. And which just wasn't the case. And there's so many nitpicky, I'd have to go back and revisit exactly what was going on. But if it's giving you an option where like you don't know what the seed phrase is, if it's not open source, if it's claiming it's the most secure on the market with like no prior precedent set or like it's brand new, there's a number of things. And then like, just when you get into using it, like if it uses a static address, major red flag, like there's no consideration for privacy whatsoever there. If it's using like a legacy Bitcoin address, major red flag, like, do you even pay attention to Bitcoin development? If you see a legacy address, that's like one of the worst indications, because it's if they can't even pick up and get you a SegWit address, what's the chance that they're going to enable any sort of useful Bitcoin features like replace by fee or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, those are kind of some of the ones that come to mind, I guess.
Awesome. That was great. Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you actually have a favorite hardware wallet or phone wallet or whatever? Maybe I don't want to put you in a spot with your sponsors or whatever, but do you have some ones that you recommend to maybe noobs and intermediate Bitcoiners?
Yeah. So, I have, I now basically default to Cold Card for most functions. I just, and this is, I guess over time with using different types of hardware, I've come to appreciate like how much they've been able to pack into Cold Card, how many advanced functions that you can use with Cold Card. And I understand, you know, some criticism where people are like, well, for a brand newcomer, it's a difficult learning curve. Yes. But I've also seen newcomers overcome that learning curve. So I think it's definitely doable. And it's also dependent on the interface you're using with it, because Cold Card doesn't have like an app. You get to choose the interface you use. So if you use an easier interface, then it'll be easier to operate your Cold Card if you see it fit. You know, you can use it wired if you really, really need to, or you can use the security of having an air-gapped wallet. So Cold Card, I think what they're doing is, for a hardcore Bitcoiner, it's just unparalleled. But I can't fault somebody who's like, they were already wary of taking self-custody, and they've taken the step of buying a hardware wallet and actually getting into self-custody when they never thought they would. And okay, they're rocking like a Ledger or a Trezor. I mean, if that's what it takes to get you to self-custody and something more complicated or with a bit more of a learning curve would have had you literally just not take that step whatsoever, more power to you. But fuck, I love the Cold Card. It's so awesome. And that's kind of my default. You know, I do use others for other things. I have Ledgers, I have Trezors, I have, you know, I use the, like, Keystone is pretty good. I've used Foundation, I've used Bitbox. Those are kind of the ones that come to mind. And I was just going to say, Seed Signer is so awesome as a DIY, like build it yourself from regular parts. It's like the fact that you can do that is unbelievable to me. The fact that I literally bought a handful of parts, put them together, flashed something on an SD card, and I have a functioning device that can create seed phrases, that can utilize them to send and receive funds, that can create multi-sig wallets, and then I can actually transcribe a private key onto a scannable QR code. It blows my mind regularly. It's insane. So yeah, in terms of hardware, you know, I'm always using my Cold Cards. Seed Signer is awesome. The whole list that I mentioned there will definitely work for anybody. But in terms of interface, Sparrow Wallet for desktop, hands down, no question, my favorite to use. And in terms of mobile, just like on the go, I have some spending cash in a wallet. I typically default to Moon Wallet now, just because it's a single balance, but I'm interacting with Lightning and on-chain. And I don't have to, you know, muck around with switching back and forth. I find it, that's just super convenient. So that's kind of where I'm at there.
Beautiful. That was the thorough breakdown. And I couldn't agree more. Huge fan of Cold Card. I just downloaded Moon like this week, and I don't know what I was sleeping on, but that wallet is nice. It's clean. I can use Lightning and Bitcoin. It feels very, I don't know how to say it. It's like normie consumer friendly. Like anyone can download Moon and just be like, okay, I'm using Bitcoin. I don't have to figure out whether I'm using Lightning or on chain. It's just like, okay, like here, send it to me. Like, what am I doing? Here, I have an app. It's beautiful. And like Wine said, we've become huge fans of the Seed Signer. I think that's a really awesome project. Shouts out to everyone out there and all the other wallets that you were talking about. I love all them. Good stuff there. Really good stuff. But Wine, I have a question that we didn't write, but I feel like it's fitting considering that our guest is a member of the famous Council of Bend. So, do you have a word for the other members of the Councils of Bend? Is there going to be a Bend Wars 2.0? What is going on over there? Has the Council of Bend disbanded? They're real quiet right now. Are you guys building in the bear market? What is going on with the Council of Bend?
The High Council of Bitcoin Bend is now and forever, and I don't think anybody should ever doubt that. We are quietly in the background, and this is privileged information. So luckily, this isn't a public forum. But I will say quietly to you guys. I hope nobody's listening. But we're quietly hatching our evil plans for a 51% attack on the male names in the space. I think it's going swimmingly. We're building our ranks. I think the Knicks took a major blow recently. And I mean, they were the closest competition, but I mean, even they were a joke. They couldn't even get their names spelled the same. So, you know, fuck those guys. Bends are all the way, and it's just the way it is. Every once in a while, we'll see a new name pop up and they'll be like, we got three guys. Yeah, big fucking joke. So it's the Bends now and forever, and we will dominate the space.
Let's go. Yo. Hey, that was a way better answer than I was expecting. That was amazing. Good job. Good job.
Well, I don't fuck around when it comes to High Council. Just game face on. Like, somebody mentions High Council, I'm like, all right, it's business time.
All right. I know what I got to do. Oh, man. That was good.
I just want to note that he said their plan was evil. He used the word evil plan.
Wow, dog.
So are the Bends evil or are they good guys?
I mean, evil in the sense that, you know, as painted by the mainstream media.
Good. That was a good narrative spin there. I like that. You definitely are a master of propaganda, Ben. It's almost like you run a YouTube channel and you know how to, attract and dissuade attention. But hold up, guys. I don't have the record stop. So as close as I can get is the horns. Yeah, but we got Thomas Jestifer up on here. Jestifer, how you doing, dude? You came back for Ben? I see how it is. Look, Sessions, he left our show, but he came back for you. So explain yourself, Jestifer. What is going on here?
Oh, my God. You brought me up on stage. Over in Colombia, experiencing all the fiat system. But using Lightning on the daily just because it's the easiest way to go from dollars to euros, Colombian pesos. Everybody wants Bitcoin here. It takes no explanation.
Really? But let's go. You're in Colombia. Amazing. Amazing. So, Jestifer, I know this is Ben's show, but when are you coming back on and doing some Lightning stuff for us, guy?
Man, things have been crazy busy for Amboss, but always happy to talk Amboss, Lightning, whatever you want.
Awesome. Well, we'll have Wine hit your DMs.
When are you going to give Ben a tutorial so he can give us a tutorial?
Exactly.
I did. I'm already on it, you guys. I did a tutorial on Magma a month or two ago, and it's fucking awesome.
Let's go.
Super thorough. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing that tutorial. As soon as people start using it, they realize like, oh, this is actually quite easy. And we're hoping to make it even easier.
Well, yeah, Jestifer,
probably have to do an update soon, I bet.
Yeah. Jestifer, we will charge you on the back end for that plug. Weinikis will hit your DMs.
You heard it here first.
No. We will plug anything you work on, Jestifer, forever, because it's going up forever. All right, well,
let's back to
what was that? It's gonna be oh, man. Don't you miss us, Jestifer. Don't you miss us.
I do.
All right, Wine. You got more questions over there or what?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Do you want to give me like a transition sound or something?
There is no second best.
Okay. BTC Sessions. Sesh, you do the tutorials, but you're also famous for bringing on the great minds of Bitcoin and asking them, why are they bullish? So I want to ask you, who has made you the most bullish?
Ooh, that's a tough one. There's always such interesting lines of thought that get brought up. I love the ones where we go down like a philosophical rabbit hole and like how sound money will affect behavioral shifts in society. So anytime we get into something like that, it just recent, like last week I had Brandon Quittam on. And he never fails to lead it down an interesting path. And he, you know, he's kind of famous for doing his comparing Bitcoin to like a biological organism. And I always find his takes on things very interesting. I mean, the epic one that I did last year with Saylor and Mallers and Pish and HODL now I'm completely, and Jeff Booth, that was a hell of a show. That was a lot of fun, but like, God, I get so many fun people on every single week. I honestly like it when the show is totally different from week to week. That's my favorite part of it. So I don't know that I have a specific person, but I have a specific, I like being surprised in the conversation where somebody, you know, U-turns and takes the conversation in a really strange direction. I seem to remember Max Kaiser getting into aliens. So there's always, you know, whenever it goes in a strange direction, I like that. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, can you even get more bullish than you already are?
I feel like I'm just, deep inside, I think a lot of us already just know what's happening. And it's just, your bullishness now is just kind of a meter on how imminent you think that eventuality is happening. So like, you know, I'll say I'm perma bullish to the maximum amount. I just get more excited when I think it's coming sooner. So like, I think max bullish for me last year was like a clear top indicator, because I was drinking with my buddy who came over and we were celebrating with an all-time high rye. And we're literally just drunk ranting to each other about how understanding Bitcoin is a cheat code for life. And I'm pretty sure that was like the absolute top. So when you get a little too excited, it just means that like you currently are anticipating what will happen a little bit too soon. You think that it's sooner than it actually is. You're still right. You're just getting ahead of yourself a tad.
Agreed. You reminded me of, I don't know if you saw this, but do you remember when American HODL was online and we on Twitter and we hit all time high? I think it was like 2020 something. And he was popping the champagne bottle at like 8 a.m. and was drunk as fuck by the night. And it was just like, yep, that's what you do when it hits all time high. But just to add some seriousness to this, I legitimately feel like I can't get more bullish, but I feel like I get more bullish when my thinking around Bitcoin becomes more clearer, or someone says something that just like resonates with me and it opens up a like, oh my God, like how did I not see that? Like I saw it, but wow, like thank you for putting it in that position. Because we're already so bullish. It's like we all spend our time talking about Bitcoin. This is all we think about. But then someone says something, you're like, oh my God, like I never thought of it that way. And now I need to go stack. Does that happen to you when you're on We Are Bullish?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like somebody will, use an analogy and it'll shift my understanding of the world or kind of what society has been up till now and what Bitcoin changes about it. Or maybe like I might be reading a book or watching a video that explains a technical detail that I didn't previously understand or brings to light something that's being built on Bitcoin that I didn't know previously was possible. And then I see it and understand how it's working and go, oh my God, Bitcoin is even more useful than I thought. And those are the moments that, again, kind of give me that burst of bullishness and excitedness. I'll also say that my conviction in Bitcoin seems to be most pronounced at two points in the market, all-time highs and drops to bear market lows. Both of those, like when it's sideways chop, you're just kind of like, yeah, you know, shit's inevitable, but I'm going about my daily business. When it's all-time highs, you're jazzed up. Yeah, you know, fuck the people, I told you so. But when it's hitting like new lows in a bear market, I also equally have the same amount of conviction, but it's like in your face conviction, because I know it's going to look so fucking smart like a few years from now. So those are the moments when I'm like, yeah, when everybody's saying I told you so to me because it quote unquote crashed, and I get to say like, oh no, I'm still all in. I haven't sold a sat. Fuck you guys. I'm living on Bitcoin. Like all of those things that people think you're crazy in the moment, and you get to say it proudly and like pronounce it to the world. And you know that a few years from now, you get to be like, hey, remember when you thought I was a moron? Well, I wasn't a moron. I actually knew what I was talking about because I took the time and I did the work. So those two parts of the market, like new highs and scraping lows of the bears, that's when I have the most conviction and want to voice it.
Yeah, Ben, you just reminded me that I am literally on the same path. I find myself more willing to stack sats when the price is going up and then when it's completely dumping. And then when it's going sideways, I just get bored and I'm like, oh, dude, like do something. It's like that meme, like poking Bitcoin with the stick. You're like, just do something now. This is boring. And then it starts moving and you're like, shit, I should have bought more sats while it was going sideways. Like, oops. And then it pumps and you're like, oh my God, I need to buy more Bitcoin. Anyways, we got some comments here. Considering you are Canadian, we have some comments about the Canadian trucker. So this one's by our friend Diogenes the Great. He goes, Sessions, what kind of heat was brought for helping the Canadian truckers?
Good question. So at the time it was very unclear, like what the hell was going on and like the legal status of everything and everything happened so quickly, right? Like in the span of 2 weeks, truckers arrived in Ottawa. A few days, like a day or two later, FOSS asked me how we would do Lightning donations. And so I set up the page for that. And then we started accepting donations. We raised one millionth of all Bitcoin that will ever exist. And then the Canadian government made it illegal to like protest or support the protest and brought in the Emergencies Act. They froze GoFundMe. They couldn't freeze GiveSendGo, but as soon as they tried to withdraw from GiveSendGo to a Canadian bank, they froze those bank accounts. They froze the bank accounts of people that were in Ottawa and supporting the truckers. Shit went crazy. And all of this happened in 2 weeks. And the initial goal was like, oh, let's raise 10 million sats. So like a few thousand bucks at the time. And, you know, it was still legal. So a lot of things changed very quickly. So when the Emergencies Act came in, it was effectively like, you know, you couldn't fundraise for this stuff. Or like there were unclear penalties for doing so. There were also like if you were protesting, you just like weren't allowed to be there. I was on the opposite side of the country, but I was like still trying to help in different ways. What ended up happening is, so of course, like around 15 Bitcoin were all handed out directly into the hands of truckers. There's no indication that any of that has been confiscated since, or at least like very minimal amounts, if any has, if they dropped it in an exchange while the Emergencies Act was on. I don't know if there were any identifiable instances of people actually having funds frozen, trying to get dollars for them. But unfortunately, there was a bug in the multisig software you guys still got me? Sorry, it kind of crapped out.
Yeah, you dropped for a moment, but we still got you.
Okay, what did you hear last?
Bug in the multisig.
Okay, so yeah, there's a bug in the multisig. We were using Nunchuck, which is super awesome. But there was just a temporary bug where when you have a multisig wallet going, there's like an encrypted chat. And when you go to propose a transaction to the key holders, it sends this encrypted chat message saying, so-and-so is trying to send a transaction. Do you want to sign it? But that chat message wasn't being relayed to the other key holders. And so as we were trying to migrate the funds so that they could basically be divvied up, the last like few Bitcoin got stuck there. And that delay, unfortunately, like while they were in the hands of an individual who had access to more of them, more keys than should have basically been in the hands of one individual, while trying to mitigate this bug, you know, house gets raided, the last few Bitcoin get seized, is my understanding. And so basically those Bitcoin are sitting in like a legal escrow right now, because there was a lawsuit launched from two individuals and a business based in Ottawa, and they're seeking damages for having their businesses disrupted for a few weeks, which is fucking rich, because the whole protest was a group of people that had their lives disrupted for like months and months, if not years. But that's besides the point. So there was a lawsuit launched. And in that lawsuit, there's something called a Mariva injunction that states that any funds associated with in and around that lawsuit have to basically stay put until the resolution of said lawsuit. And so basically, yeah, those few Bitcoin are sitting there awaiting the outcome of that. But the rest got divvied up. Unfortunately, two of the multi-sig holders, one that was on the ground, two that were both on the ground in Ottawa, that were also more directly helping in organizing the protest itself. They were named in that lawsuit as defendants alongside a handful of others. So that was Caribou and BJ Dichter. And then I was named alongside Jeff Booth and Greg Foss as like a footnote, as a potential custodian, but not as like an actual defendant in said lawsuit. You know, at this point, obviously I don't have keys or anything like that, but like I asked a couple lawyers and said like, how worried should I be about being named in this section? And they more or less said like, you know, you pretty much, you know, from the outside looking in, you pretty much tried to do what you could and observe the current situation. Like there, you know, once it got up to a certain threshold of donations and then the Emergencies Act was enabled, the donation page was taken down because we're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, are we all going to jail or something? And they said that also being named in like a footnote, as they tend to just throw shit at the wall and see what'll stick in those sections. So I was told not to worry too much, but I still was freaking out because like at one point I got a message being like, yo, my house just got raided by police. They took my computer and all my electronics and I'm on a backup phone. I just wanted to let you know that this is happening. And I was like, about to leave with my family on vacation, like in a couple days. And I was like, holy fuck, in no way am I ready for police to kick in my door and take all my shit. And so like, I'm kind of like, what do I do? I got to figure this shit out. And so I ended up, I was just worried. And so I went out to my wife. I was like, this just happened. What do you think? And we ended up staying in a hotel near the airport for two nights before we left. Cause I was that paranoid that I was like, maybe somebody's going to kick in my door in a moment and like take all my shit. And yeah, so like, and we were going to Costa Rica. And so we left, and I was like, are they going to let me get on a plane? Which luckily it was fine. But then I was also down there for a period of time being like, is there a possibility that I might not be able to go home? And like, I legit kind of didn't know for a little bit. And then it seemed to kind of smooth over, but like, it was a fucking stressful month going through that. And I really feel for Nick and for BJ that are still kind of awaiting the outcome of this fucking lawsuit. It's super unfortunate. I hope, given all the information that has come to light since the Emergencies Act was enacted, that this lawsuit doesn't really have a leg to stand on, but I, by no means am I a legal expert, so I really don't know.
Amazing story, Ben. I did not know all that background. And shout out to BJ. He hangs out in the Simply Bitcoin spaces all the time, and he's given the signal. I really love his energy and his takes. He's killing it. But we have one more question in regard to the candidate, at least from our side. What was your biggest takeaway from that whole scenario going down? Maybe personally or just the, you know, the whole protest in general, whichever angle you want to go.
I just want to add to that like this was the first time you encountered like a real scenario where it's Bitcoin against the state. So yeah, like what would you do differently in that scenario? You know, that was like a huge learning experience for all Bitcoiners in this point.
Yeah. I had a handful of takeaways there in terms of how it was structured. And I've said this on a couple shows before, but my assumptions out the gate were bad. Were that one, not that much money would be raised, and two, that it would remain legal. And neither of those things were true, right? We raised a lot of money very quickly, which quickly became illegal to do. And so because of that, it was just like the worst practices out the gate, right? Like the donation page, the way that it functioned, unfortunately, even if you uploaded an XPub, it ended up being a static address for each new, it would generate a new address, but only for each new fundraiser, not for each new donor. So that was unfortunate. And the other thing was all of the key holders for the multi-sig, it was good having a multi-sig because, you know, user error couldn't result in loss of funds. But when the government all of a sudden decides you're not allowed to do this, having every key holder be a publicly identifiable Canadian was an issue. So from the get-go, I guess I would have, first off, the general message that I'd like to say is if you're ever fundraising or doing any sort of like public facing thing that relates to Bitcoin, privacy best practices should be observed from the get-go, even if you think it will be small, because things can change very quickly. So what would I have done from the beginning? I would have done a BTC pay server to accept donations that would create a new address for each new donor, and then also enable Lightning donations. I would have, after the funds went into that, I would have used probably Sparrow Wallet to use Whirlpool to coin join those funds. And then that coin join could auto mix into a multi-sig. Multi-sig was great in terms of having no single point of failure. I would say we used a 305 out the gate. That was difficult to coordinate. I think you need to be a bit more nimble than that. 203 probably would have done the trick. The other thing about the key holders being publicly identifiable, I viewed that as necessary out the gate because Bitcoiners are going to say, who the fuck is raising money, right? Don't trust Verify. So you needed to have some sort of like public face where their reputation would be on the line if they fucked it up, which unfortunately kind of happened on my part. I would approach the multi-sig in a way where the key holders are not publicly identified, but they're vetted by public figures who then put their own reputation on the line for that individual key. So in doing that, you know, somebody kicks in my door and says, give me the fucking key. Well, I don't have it. I can tell you who the key holder is if I really need to, but they may not even be local. They may be in like on the other side of the globe. So that's how I would mitigate that. And then in terms of divvying it up, I thought that the paper packages that ended up going out were quite good. I didn't have a hand in helping create those. But I thought that those worked quite well. It was basically a care package of like, here's a preloaded seed. This is how to sweep it. And this is how to move it around and access it. So I thought that was awesome. If those were divvied up, basically if you accept it through BTC Pay, if you then mixed all those coins, then you had them temporarily in a multi-sig until you then sent those UTXOs to those paper packages, that would observe privacy on chain so that it would be basically impossible to kind of tell who had what. And then at that point, handing them out to individuals, this would be the tricky part with Don't Trust Verify is like, how do you prove that the donor's funds got to where they're supposed to go? And like, there was video of giving out funds to truckers. I probably would have blurred faces, you know, to help with privacy in that sense. But like, that's the part where I'm kind of like, how would you do that and show that funds were getting where they needed to get without doxing recipients explicitly. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with that. And I think that in terms of other things that I learned, again, things can happen so quickly. Like I never would have guessed that this type of protest would happen in Canada of all places. Like we're a pretty compliant bunch of people. And for it to happen in the dead of winter as well, when it's like negative 30 degrees Celsius, was for me, made me feel happy about my country again for a change, which was nice. And so that kind of warmed my heart a little bit there. But the speed at which the government just descended into totalitarianism was shocking to me as well. So don't think that it can't happen. It can. And because of that, you should observe best practices out the gate in every situation. And I also would take away that Bitcoin donations, in a private manner, tools need to be, the tools are there, but it's difficult for a newbie to utilize these. We need to streamline and make it so much easier for just the basic person to be like, I have a Bitcoin wallet and I can publicly post some information that won't dox the receiving of funds, and anybody will be able to send to that, whatever that public information is, and protect not only the receiving wallet, but the donor from being easily identified. PayNIMS helps with this, but I think we need lots of options.
Amazing breakdown sessions. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Guys, we are at the hour mark. So if you want to come up and ask questions, this would be the time. While some people are coming up, we do have a question in our DMs for you, Sessions. This is by @DoxedMumbles. And he goes, I am having difficulty specifically for verifying downloads for wallets like Sparrow. And I'm wondering if you, BTC Sessions, has made any videos like the rest of your content that shows you how to verify your downloads.
You know, I haven't, and this is on my list of things that I like to cover, being able to download and verify a software release. The answer right now is no, but I'm literally typing it again in bold to do. So I guess keep your eyes out for that.
Let's go. We do this for you guys out there. Man, Wine's just giving him all kinds of ideas. Yeah, shout out to you, Knox. He just sent me a heart on the emoji. We'll get that.
We're getting the hair tutorial first, right?
Oh, I mean, that takes priority.
Of course. Of course. Well, guys, you don't want to ask Sessions any more questions. I think me and Wine exhausted
it's
all
the
our
time of the show to ask okay. Sessions.
All right.
I mean, that was awesome, Sessions, for breaking that down and being super transparent about everything. But it's time to
do you have a rapid fire section, or are we going
to
the last?
I just want to know Sessions' favorite meme, either all time or as of late.
It's that part of the show.
Favorite meme? Shit, I don't know. Now that I'm, put on the spot here, it's hard to narrow down some of my favorite memes. So I had one on the ready that I was ready to drop, but we didn't quite hit 69K as an all-time high. But I had one, the Are You Winning, Son? And it was just like somebody doing 69 on the floor, and I was just going to drop that one. But we didn't quite hit it. I don't know. The meme reviews on Simply Bitcoin are always so epic, and there's always so many good ones. It's so hard to narrow down. I don't know, man.
That's good enough for us, Ben. That's good
Simply
enough for
Bitcoin
us.
Simply Bitcoin plug.
Hold on. Before we move into our last section, Wine, did you read between the lines there? I'm pretty sure BTC Sessions just fully endorsed prawn memes on Bitcoin Twitter. How courageous of you. Very courageous. Much wow. He does this for you guys.
That's not a first on the show, but...
It's not, but this might be the biggest Bitcoin account to endorse prawn memes on Bitcoin Kindergarten.
GG was the first to shout out prawn memes.
That's true.
Okay, so I know exactly what my favorite meme was, actually, because I'm thinking of it now and I'm laughing again, and it was the GIF posted by American HODL, and it was literally just an actual porn GIF of like somebody putting a dick in an ass, but it just said 6.15 written across the dick, and then it was her face moaning. And I remember scrolling through Twitter, and I was near my buddy, and he looks over my shoulder and he sees that, and he cracks up laughing. He's like, "What the fuck are you looking at?" And it was in public somewhere. And then I showed, and he's kind of like getting into Bitcoin at the time, and he had a hell of a time. And I just such blatant in your face, like degeneracy, like out there for anybody to see. I got to give the claps to HODL for doing that.
The confidence we have of where this is going is reflected in our memes.
Exactly. Hold on, Wine. Before we get to the last section, we have one more request for Sessions here. This is by our buddy AnyReg. He goes, Sessions, this is all cap as well. Sessions, more Bitcoin Core / old laptop videos for normie friends. So this is what the people want over here. Wine, I think let's be semi-respectful of Sessions' time, and let's get into our favorite part of the show. Are you ready?
It's the last part of the show. Unless Sessions wants to discuss anything, we're going to wrap it up and go over the lightning tips that we got. So... Should we start that?
I think we're good. Are you ready for this, guys? Check this shit out.
And now it's time for Shit posting as a service brought to you by me, Labra Huddle, and the guys at ZBD. Read off the lightning tips this week, Winekus. Wine. Read the tips.
Yo.
Shout out Labra Huddle.
We made that last night for you guys. Amazing. That will be a part of the show.
That was the work cut out for us this week. So we're going to read the tips of the week. The first tip of the week is for sponsorship sats. The next tip is from the man himself, Labra Huddle, for hookres, pupusas, and Optimus hair dye. Hashtag I am building potato emoji.
Shout out, Labra.
The next tip for 527 sats says, never go full blonde. We got another tip that says, sesh, what's up? The next tip is from Labra Huddle again, saying, Ben's can't meme. M-E-E-N.
Shots fired, Labra. Wow.
We got a 1337 lead for books and tools. Educate thyself, .. And for who cares too.
I can't tell if that was Labra or someone else. Oh man.
No, it wasn't. It was not.
It was spelled correctly. It was spelled correctly. Shout out to you.
But the next one says, it's coming session. And I think that was referring to when Sessions was saying how bullish the bullishness is just coming. The next one says, buy corn for the I told you so. Next one says, told ya. And the last tip of the day for the Labra Huddle shitposting as a service says, I guess there are some based Canadians out there.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow. Well, of course, guys, we thank you.
That intro was so good.
Dude, that was so good. Wine, we really are.
Play it again.
Okay, I got to play it one more time. Sorry.
We got to play this. We're so excited about this.
I'm going to turn it up so you guys get the full vibe.
And now it's time for Shit Posting as a Service, brought to you by me, Labra Huddle, and the guys at ZBD. Read off the lightning tips this week, Winekus. Wine. Read the tips.
Actually, while that was playing, we got one more tip. 6969 sats for prawn memes.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, guys, you know we love
Sessions,
you.
Sessions, you went through the gauntlet of Bitcoin podcasts. We're really happy that you came through.
Yeah, plug all your stuff, bro. Everyone knows who you are, but if someone doesn't know who you are by now, plug your YouTube, your Twitter, all their good stuff, man. People need to see your content.
And this is educational, so maybe it's an educational show, so some parting words for the fans.
Yeah. First off, thanks for having me. This is awesome. I had a blast. Enjoyed. I think the most valuable part of the show was, of course, the hair section. But, you know, like that up for the whole time, right? So, you know, we eventually had to degrade into legitimate topics. But but I appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, you can find me, obviously, you can follow me here on Twitter at BTC Sessions. YouTube, BTC Sessions is the channel, and there's like 6 years worth of content there. If you're looking for something specific, just look through the playlists, because they're broken down a little bit easier and you can find whatever topic you're looking for there. I have a website too, so that just kind of helps point people in the direction of whatever they may need, and that's btcsessions.ca, because Canada. That's where you can find me.
Let's go. Well, Ben, Mr. Sessions, This has been awesome. I had a blast. I'm glad that we could have actually talked about your hair for 20 minutes at the start of the show. Absolutely amazing. And we also got you some bullish info out there, guys. Ben broke down the Canadian trucker protest, and that was pure signal. So much good stuff there. That's the genius of us over here, Wine. You got to make it through all the laughs to get the pure signal. But anyways, guys, you already know it's your boy Optimus, and me and Winicus are Bitcoin kindergarten. Wine, do we have a guest next week, or are we going full regard? What is going on?
Maybe Pedro.
Oh, wait, no, we do. We do have a guest. Sorry, guys. Next week, we got Pedro at retweet or r_tweet.
The memeing Pedro.
The memeing Pedro from the meme factor that doesn't exist. We are going to be talking about nudes for the whole show. Nudes, the whole show. You need to run your own nudes. Run your nudes, because that's what we're going to do next week. Guys, we're not talking about nudes next week. I know we were just talking about prawn memes, but no. Pedro's coming in. We're going to talk about all nodes, nothing but nodes next week. He wants to talk about nodes for the whole hour plus. So if you want some Bitcoin node talk, we got it for you next week on Bitcoin Kindergarten. Anyways, guys, we absolutely love you. This has been too much fun. I hope you had a good time. I hope you guys got some good signal out of this. Hope you got some laughs. And shout out to Labrahoddle, the best dog in the business. Anyways, guys, we will see you next week. Peace out.